Welcome back to Don't Call It a Book Club. My name is Luke.
My name is Dan.
Today, Dan, we've finished another book. Finally. I don't know why I'm saying finally. We finished The Gone World. So a lot to talk about, but time to get warmed up. We've got a dub warm up
because we've got some things that we need to talk about. The first one that I want to talk to you about is dog talk. We're going to have a little dog talk.
Love dog talk. Yeah.
And I think I maybe am going to caption this, is Dan being unreasonable? ?
Okay.
So here's what I mean. I have a dog, wonderful dog, very sweet, very smart, precious, Jolene. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Whenever I take Jolene on a walk, people who meet Jolene for the first time, they always comment on how beautiful my dog is.
Mm-hmm.
And this feels irrational, but a part of me is like, you know, she's more than that, right? Like, she's more than just pretty. And it feels like, okay, and I am not one to be like, this is my child. Like, this is my dog, okay? It's not a human child. It's not any of that. But I still get a little bit like, okay, yeah, she's pretty. That's true. Say something else. There's more to her than that, okay? She's got a great personality.
Right.
How is that okay? Stop commenting on how beautiful my dog is. I mean, she is beautiful, but that's not it. She's also very friendly. She's got a great smile.
This is adorable of you, Dan.
Am I wrong?
I will say that, like, well, okay, this is going to be a distinction that is going to sound like not a distinction to a lot of people.
Yeah.
I agree with you to some extent, especially if they're like saying that your dog is beautiful.
Yeah.
Because I think the distinction I'm going to making is between cute and beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually would prefer cute.
Yeah.
If I'm getting a compliment on my dog, because I feel like as a dog, to comment cute as to a dog is like a little bit more holistic.
Mm, agreed.
Because I feel like cute includes their personality is a little cute, you know?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I think you're being a little bit of a goofball, but I see what you mean.
I also, Luke, I'm going to add to this a little bit. I don't know what to say in response to that. Like,
I agree. Do you say thank you? That's weird.
I didn't do anything to make my dog beautiful. She just is a objectively very good-looking dog, I guess. And it's not like, because they say it to the dog, and it's like, she doesn't know what you're talking about. I've not taught her this command.
I'll push back a little bit, because, like, it's, like, they know that the dog doesn't understand, right?
Yeah, so then they're saying it to me. And again, what do I say to that comment?
Yeah, I don't know. What do you think about my distinction between cute and beautiful? Would you prefer cute as well?
Yeah, definitely prefer cute. Because then I can say something like, oh yeah, she's a troublemaker. Or like, you know, there's some little comment, a little simple comment I can make. For now, I'm stuck with the comment of like she knows it. You know, like she's, knows. She knows that she's like, you know what I mean? I'm just stuck with the one comment. I can't really say anything else.
It's a dilemma. Yeah.
Plus, she's very sweet. It's almost, she's a very sweet, she's very sweet. And I feel like when people just comment on her appearance, it's like, yeah, but you didn't think about this at all. Look how nice she's being.
Is this after they've do they come up and say like, can I pet your dog, and then they do a little play with her for like a few seconds, and then
inevitably and the thing that's I think this is part of the thing that gets me, because it's usually they'll say it at the very beginning of the interaction and it's like, okay, that's fine, you don't know anything about my dog, and then at the very end they'll comment on it again and it's like, look, I get it, she's a pretty dog. Say something else.
I'm coming around a little bit on your take here.
And also just for her sake, like, she, there's so much more. There's so much more to Jolene
so much more
than her looks. Okay. So true. Anyway.
I love it. Okay. There's dog talk.
There's dog talk, Luke. We got to talk about our second warm-up, which is that we've both finished The Night of the Seven Kingdoms, the HBO miniseries. Yes.
This was a bit of a flip-flop on our usual interaction here, mm-hmm. because Dan watched it first and was very pro and recommended it to me. Those of you, the long-term listeners, will know Dan was very anti Game of Thrones TV show.
Well, let me tell you the deal, though. I did not read the book that this was based on.
Okay. Yes. Same.
And so before we get into Night of the Seven Kingdoms, first off, Luke, did we like it? Pro? Anti? What do we think?
I was fairly pro. Yeah.
I very much enjoyed it. I thought the dynamic between the two main characters was very good, very fun. The jokes were good. I just was having a fun time. And this is going to be another this is Dan having another crazy moment. It once again feels like it reminds me that I wish he would just finish these damn books. Do you know what I mean? I saw this show, which clearly he spent a lot of time and put a lot of work into writing and helping make a good show. You can feel George in the show. And I'm like, God, I just want to finish those books, George. And it also makes me wish I'd read the book beforehand, too, because I'm like, I'm sure the book was pretty good.
Yeah, yeah. That's fair. The interesting thing is, to me, it was very different from the other series.
You mean the House of the Dragon in this one?
Well, yes, but also the main one.
The Game of Thrones series, yeah. I mean, it was similar in a lot of ways, I will say.
But
it was goofier for sure.
Yeah, yeah. So goofier and the stakes are kind of lower, I guess, in a sense. To me, it feels more like a just buddy show almost.
Right, but
a show about the interaction between two. Yeah.
Now we're going to give some spoilers here. The heir to the throne dies at the end.
Right.
So,
but you're not caring about the realm in this show. You know what I mean? You're caring about two characters.
Yeah, this is true. About Duncan Egg.
Which in that sense the stakes are a little bit lower.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a little bit more lighthearted, I think. I mean, there's times that aren't.
Yeah.
So that it made it I feel like it made it an enjoyable watch,
mm-hmm.
but it's not a show that I'm going to rave about, probably.
Mm-hmm. Luke was having fun, but it didn't change his life, is what he's saying.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Whereas I feel like, again, I know you haven't watched it, but the first four seasons of the Game of Thrones TV show was okay, this is pretty incredible.
Yeah. Yeah. How much do you think George regrets how that ended? A lot or just a little?
So much. Gotta be so much.
Gotta be so much, because
But okay, I sidetracked us. We can't talk about the main TV show.
Yeah.
I apologize.
Anyway, it just left me, I got to the end of it and I was like, man, that's a good show. The writing in that show was really good. and they're never gonna get done. Those books are not getting done because George is I like TV now.
Yeah.
Which is fine. Which is fine. Good for George. Do whatever you want, George. But man, every now and then I get reminded that those books are so good.
They're very good.
They're very good.
What'd you like about what'd you like about this TV show?
I liked a lot the goofiness of it. I thought the mix of sort of goofiness to seriousness was really good. The touching moments were very. I just thought emotionally it worked for me. It really resonated emotionally. Mm-hmm. And I think the biggest part is the dynamic between Dunk and his mentor and Egg. And maybe this is because I'm a teacher. And so the mentorship side of it was really resonating with me, but I was just like, ah, wow, you can really see the like lineage and how Dunk's trying to do something better and how Egg is just like a goofy little guy. Yeah.
Yeah.
I just really loved that sort of like three-way dynamic that was going on and the way that they like, also how like Dunk clearly wasn't a real knight. That was like the one thing he was lying about the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that it was like somewhat subtle, like they never explicitly say that he's not a knight, but you just like can see in his expression and like his choices that he's not. I don't know.
Yeah.
There's a lot I liked about it, Luke.
Fair. Yeah.
Apparently they're making more.
Yeah. I think I'm all in on Egg.
Yeah. For sure.
On this show. I think Egg makes it.
Yeah. Absolutely. That also the actor that plays Egg, so good, right?
Very good. Yeah.
Very good. Yeah. Egg, huge part of it, but I don't know. Watch it. It's not very long either. 30-minute episodes?
Yeah.
I was kind of loving that too.
6 or 7 30-minute episodes.
Yeah.
Very doable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Anyway.
Kind of a departure from what we've been. I forget if I've talked about this. I've been lamenting kind of like the added length to a lot of things mm-hmm. recently, movies mm-hmm. and TV shows, where like occasionally I want something a little bit more digestible, and this was definitely that.
Yeah. Yeah. See, Luke, they're doing what you want.
They're doing what I want. Sure.
We do have to say we do have to say one more thing on air.
Okay.
Luke and I are big Scrubs fans from way back.
Yes.
Luke, Scrubs is back. Are you watching it?
I saw an ad for this a while ago. I haven't kept up. Is it coming out soon?
I think they've just released some of the first episodes.
I'm going to watch it. I think I'm going to watch it.
I'm so scared, Luke, because I know it's one of those things where you've watched it as a young person and you haven't seen it. Like, I haven't watched Scrubs in more than a decade.
And so, oh, really? I've rewatched it.
See, and I don't know if the original would hold up for me. And so if the original...
Oh, dude, it holds up.
Okay.
It's so good.
Okay, all right. So if the original holds up, then I just worry that the new one, it's like, if they... I mean, the last season of the original was also very bad.
Yeah.
So I guess they can't do a lot more damage, but... Oh, man.
I think that's where I'm at, where I've rewatched it like a decent amount.
Yeah.
I still love OG Scrubs.
Yeah.
Maybe it's time for another rewatch, actually. But because they already ruined, like, kind of, you know, did that extra season.
Yeah.
Like, to me, the stakes are a little bit lower, so I'm not, like, quite that worried about it.
Okay. All right. Fair enough, Luke. It's been recommended to me. My sister actually, like, went out of her way to text me that I should watch it.
Had she watched it?
Yes.
Okay.
So.
Okay.
I mean.
One vote pro.
Maybe. So I think I'll watch an episode. I think I'm gonna go out of my comfort zone. I'll watch an ep. We'll see how it is.
Okay. I'd like you to also rewatch the original.
Okay.
Soon.
Let's
do a pod rewatch.
Let's do a pod rewatch where we review their pod that they did.
Yes.
On their rewatch, and then we'll watch all the T-Mobile commercials that they keep doing and do episodes about that.
That sounds great. That's what the listeners are demanding.
Yeah,
I think
clearly.
Yeah. Okay. We're warmed up.
Mm-hmm. Thoroughly.
Thoroughly warm. We're talking the Gone World.
Mm-hmm.
Finished the book, so full spoilers.
Hmm. Mm. Oh, Luke, I do have to start off this episode with the name of the show.
Okay.
It's not called Time Cop. I said we would come up with a better name than Time Cop.
Oh, that's right. I keep forgetting that you
Yes,
did this.
I made a promise, and I'm going to start the app with this. Now, CJ gave a lot of great options on the Discord. If you're on the Discord, get on the Discord. There's a link on the subreddit, I think, whatever. It's fine. You'll find a way to get to the Discord. CJ made some great ones on the Discord. If you want to look there, look there. But Luke and I are the professionals, so I had to come up with my own, which I think is my favorite.
I'm leaning on you for this because I didn't do it.
Okay, Luke. The show is called Time Officer.
Okay.
The tagline, she's always just one day from retirement.
Oh, all right. I'm into it.
Right?
I'm into it.
Right? Yeah. Especially, like, here's why I love Time Officer. Okay?
Yeah. Do you hyphenate? Is that what you're doing?
Yeah.
Because it's just spelled, like, officer is already OFF.
Correct. That's part of why I love it. Is
okay.
Okay. The other part is I feel like when she goes into the future, she's just kind of goofing around for a good portion of it.
In this cop show or in the actual book?
Both.
Okay. Okay.
I feel like they have some stated purpose for going into the future, but they just kind of get into hijinks most of the time.
Yeah. Okay.
And it doesn't matter.
Each season has a mission.
Mm-hmm.
Right? The overall season is one mission, but most of the episodes are her goofing off.
Yeah, and I'm going to say that they always accomplish their mission, but never because of their actions. Like, it just, like, they happen to bumble into the solution by the end, but they're not, like, actually the ones who do it.
I like it.
Which transitions very well into discussion about this book.
I can't imagine why you would think that would transition well into this. Doesn't sound like the book that I read.
Oh, yeah? Interesting. Interesting, Luke. I do want to start with just a little note here. I kind of love how this book has a fair amount of, like, time travel and people coming from the future and being real people in the past. And they've found a way to work in ghost guns to it in a great way. In a way that's like, oh yeah, this is still America. Like, they're going into the future to get a firearm to commit a crime with so that they can't be tracked. And they just keep doing it.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Gotta have ghost guns.
Gotta have ghost guns.
This is America, after all.
So true. Can I do a small note as well?
Yeah.
So she goes into one fake future that has the nanobots that are everywhere.
The ambiance, yeah.
Yeah. And they put, like, so it's just everything is ads.
Mm-hmm.
Terrible. Truly awful.
Right. She's running on the track and there's, like, a bunch of ads that keep popping up for her.
Yeah. Kill me.
Yeah, this is terrible. Who says yes to this? Who's like, oh yeah, I'd love for this to be my world now.
Right. There's a bunch of applications that they're like, oh, she had like a running coach up next to her or something like that. And then like there were some other things that she had going on, but it's like, this is not like a marked improvement over just having, like, a phone.
Well, and given the number of people who desperately want to throw their phones into the ocean and never have to deal with them again, this is, like, even more dystopian than that, right? Even more of just, like, I can only imagine that there's a good portion of this world where people are just, like, calling up a virtual slot machine whenever they have, like, a spare second to just, like, gamble away any money that they have. The other thing about this, Luke, which is horrific, this is a surveillance nightmare, right? The state or whoever runs this thing, Mark Zuckerberg or whoever owns this company in the future, knows everything all the time about everyone and all the things. Like, you've literally created a cell phone that is always on and watching all the time and everywhere. No, this is hell. We've already reached the terminus. It's this right now. Anything other than this will be an improvement in my mind.
Right. Right.
Well, I welcome the terminus at this point. I'm going to run into the ocean of my own account.
Okay.
Because of this.
Yeah. Yeah, it's bad.
Get me out of here.
Get Dan out. Okay. So this future is not the one we want.
No.
Give us the one where they cured cancer, not the one where they have ads everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah. Ugh.
Okay. going, I think, somewhat related to your intro into our discussion of the book.
Yeah.
So she... Was it this future, actually? I'm getting mixed up on which future is which. Or which, like, alternate world is which.
Yeah.
But she once again finds Nestor.
Yeah.
And gets a, like, tip from him or tip from someone and immediately jumps off to go somewhere dangerous without calling for backup.
Hell yeah.
Stop.
This is our girl. Luke, at this point...
You gotta prep for things.
No, Luke, at this point, Nestor's this is our
like,
girl.
Nestor's like, oh, we can go there right now.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
And they go to this... Keep in mind, at this point, she's like... had a couple interactions with Nestor
in that are a alternate sus?
Yeah. Storylines that are a little sus. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yep. The Nazi it's thing?
Like, then yeah. It's like, just can we take a beat for most of these?
Yeah. But Luke, if she waited, she's never going to solve the mystery.
Right.
She's got no time. Notoriously no time left, you know?
That's true. Yeah.
It's not like she could just come back and then zip back into another future or something like that.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Couldn't do that. Yeah. So, yeah. So Shannon's our girl. She's doing her classic thing. What did you think about her rationale for like not? So her deal at the end, she realizes sort of what's happening, that people are going to try and go find the ship, and that in doing that, they're going to bring back this white hole, the Terminus.
Yeah.
And there's like things that they're doing to try and stop that from happening. They're like trying to keep the information secret so nobody will go investigate.
Mm-hmm.
Her justification for stopping them is they're killing people to do it.
Right.
Has she never encountered the trolley problem before? Because she doesn't have to actually do anything. Like, she is actively pulling the lever, is what she's doing. But she's pulling the lever onto a track with five people rather than one. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
Because if she did nothing, the trolley, this would be the guy who's trying to murder everyone who knows about where Terminus is, would just kill a few people to keep it secret.
Right. Okay, well, hang on. There's multiple levels of this.
Okay.
Because I want to come back to the rationale given by our evil group.
We do need to. Yeah.
But to your point, yeah, she was not on the lever. She kind of, yeah, came back and swapped the lever over.
Right.
To use the trolley analogy.
Yeah. To a situation that's way worse. To a situation that's like, if it's true that they find the ship and they bring Terminus back, it's the death of everyone. So.
Right.
And I mean, I don't think she has any reason to doubt them. Like, I think she's very confident that they are actually doing that. But there's like. There's just like one or two lines every so often that she has this mantra suddenly that she uses to justify her actions about protecting the innocent.
Mm.
I don't know if they're selling this info knowing what it could lead to. Are they innocent? I don't like.
Right.
Because help me out for a minute, Luke. And maybe this is maybe I would fail my like star reader quiz for not paying too close attention to the text. Mersault, the whole deal with what happened is mm-hmm. Mersault is trying to sell the information about where this is, angling for a pardon for his actions. Is that right?
I have a note that's just why does Michelle sell this info?
Yeah.
Because I thought that he was like, isn't his note that she finds basically saying that he's going to go into the Vardagr like portal thing to a different world?
Yeah.
So like, it's not clear to me why he would sell the info, because whatever he sells it for
isn't real.
Did he sell it for? Now I'm getting. I don't think he sold it for a pardon, because he's already dead at this point, right? Wait. I'm all turned around.
Okay, here's
how many worlds are we in?
So here's what happened, right? In Terra Firma, I think in Terra Firma, the murder that Shannon is investigating happened because the crew of the Libra found out that Mersault was selling the location of the Libra for some reason. And this is where I'm fuzzy, is I don't know why he was selling
the location of this world, right? It's not the location of Libra.
Right. Well, okay. And this is another question I have that we're going to get to later.
Okay.
Selling the location of Esperanza, this world that has the white hole. Okay. He gave the information to his lawyer to try and work out a deal with the info.
Yeah.
So he was dead, but the lawyer was still planning on meeting with this other guy at the Five Guys burger joint to sell the info regardless, which is why Shannon found out about it. She came back and was going to try and stop this murder of the lawyer from happening. But in preventing the murder of the lawyer sold the info to Dr. Evil or whatever his name is, and then he went and brought Terminus using the info. Yeah. Like, that's what started the Terminus event from
right.
But why are they? I still don't know why they're selling any of this. Like, I'm glad that Luke, I feel so much better actually that you also don't understand why Mersault was selling this in the first place, because I was so lost on like what the motivation to divulge the info was.
Well, because the note that Mersault leaves is like, they're gonna kill my he leaves this note that's to the lawyer after he has decided to leave his home, because he knows that the crew is coming to kill him and his family. So he leaves and is like, yeah, they're gonna kill my family real good,
right?
Which but is then a bummer.
I'll just get a new one.
So like, what is the selling of the information for?
Would that I know.
I think the stated motivations for a lot of these people don't make a lot of sense. I feel like the kind of the point of some of this book is a little bit cynical, in the sense that like, it's kind of like, I don't know, human, I don't think greed is the right word, but like, they're gonna, no matter what, they want to figure out this, they, even though they know it's gonna end the world, they still, people will still go or whatever. What is their motivation again? The people that actually buy the information as well?
Well, okay. And this is another big question that I have, Luke, because presumably this information leads to the company that makes this like miraculous tech, right? So like, they sell the information to Dr. I think his name was like Philip something. And, he makes a company that either does the ambiance thing or does the cancer nanobots thing and makes like a amazing future tech. And I think it's only enabled by the location of Esperance. Like, I think that's the...
Wait, it's only enabled? But in those futures, then the Terminus would have to be there.
See,
already.
And this is why I don't know how this whole thing works, because... my understanding is He gets the info about how to make his cool technology advance by going to the place where Libra went and bringing knowledge back. Like,
okay.
That seems to be the connecting thread between all this. Like,
oh, interesting. I thought that a lot of times they just like had made discoveries.
No, it's like, all this same company that does the big tech thing.
Yeah, yeah, I know it's the same company, but I didn't really think that it was connected to Terminus.
I think that it is, and in this, because I was left confused as well, because I was like, how do they have the tech in the future if to get the tech they had to go to Terminus? So wouldn't that future have immediately turned into Terminus if you had the cool tech? I just didn't understand. Like, I didn't understand how they were able to get it while going to Terminus. It was confusing. It was confusing to me because I was then like, okay, if this is all you have to do to get cool tech, just go to the future with the cool tech and bring that. Don't go to Terminus. Just bring the cool tech from the future back.
Right. That world can have the Terminus.
Yeah. Just say bye.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, also, like, is this like a Stove Touch moment? Do you know what I mean by this? Where it's like, Mersault, let's say, when he sells this info, mm-hmm. is like, okay, this will bring about the end of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, yeah, but the cool tech, though. So, like I would think that you would be like, okay, that's not worth it because the world ends, so you can't enjoy the cool tech. And so, like, when I say the Stove Touch moment, like, are they not believing him?
Right.
And they have to touch the stove to verify.
Maybe. Or they believe that they are more powerful than they think. Or than they are, right? They believe they have the power to stop it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's worth the risk because they can mitigate it.
Sure.
Like, they think they're wearing
enough. I think that's the lesson that the author is trying to convey.
Yeah. Sure. We'll talk about the lesson at the end. Because I think there's a few options for a lesson here.
Okay. Okay.
But maybe one of them. Yeah. Yeah. Classic lesson.
Anyway, I don't get that. Okay. The third group that I don't under, I, this one I actually think is a little bit more of a valid choice. So, okay. The evil group, Hilda Kruger and them that were on Libra, their stated motivation, as you said, was they're trying to save the world, kind of.
Yeah.
Or at least severing any connection to Esperanza.
Yeah.
And by to do that, they just like murder everyone in horrific ways.
Mm-hmm.
Are we believing them?
Yes. Here's why. I think they all have a lot of guilt.
Yeah.
Because in their world, they have like killed the captain. And I think out of their cowardice, weren't able to save the world through the like noble route, right? Through the destroying of their ship and forming a black hole and like mass suicide.
Yeah.
And so as a result, it's twisted these men, right? Into forms of like, yeah, we've got to kill a bunch of people so that nobody learns about not only the Terminus, but also I think like their shame, like their like act of cowardice. And so I think like their stated goal would be a noble one, but I think that there also is a selfish goal to like hide their shame for what they did.
Okay, yes. I think this is kind of where I'm at too. Which I think they're kind of lying to themselves a little bit by trying to like make their goal seem a little bit more heroic, which like saving the world is good, obviously, but couldn't Am I wrong, or could they do what Shannon did?
I think, destroy
Libra.
In
fact, wouldn't they have like almost infinite chances to?
Probably. I think so. Unless they can't go back to that point because they're already there, but that doesn't work either because one of them brought her, didn't they? Like,
yeah.
And put her in the jail, right?
Yeah. So this is kind of where I'm saying, like, their stated motivation is to save the world, but they're not taking the actual route to do so.
Well, okay, yeah. I think part of it might then be like an additional selfish route that is, if the world still exists, they can travel between future worlds. Like, because they have been going back through this thin space and visiting like different future worlds, right?
Yeah.
And so if Terminus happens like at the point where they can come back, then I think all the worlds will be infected with Terminus and there'll be no cool worlds for them to go live in. Maybe.
Okay.
So maybe it's like they don't want to die. They just want to keep zipping through this thin space and goofing around like Shannon was doing.
Right. Yeah.
Maybe. What? Where is Libra? Is Libra on Earth or is it on that planet? Like when Shannon goes through the thin space.
Yeah.
She's still on Earth, right?
I think so.
But the ship is there now? Did they bring the ship back to Earth?
I think they did because that's how Terminus gets there.
I thought Terminus gets there because somebody else goes to where they are and brings it back. Because here's the thing, Luke. If Terminus gets there because of them, wouldn't it be there immediately? Because it's like there's like no time that passes from when a ship leaves and when it comes back?
Okay. But maybe this is where they like crash land and that kind of thing.
Back on Earth.
And so they don't actually... They land in this thin space, so they're not like actually on. They're kind of like outside of time. And space.
Okay. Sure.
Which and is so like, stay there then.
Stop leaving. Gotcha. Okay, so maybe then the Terminus is sort of contained to this thin space.
Their Terminus.
Yes. Okay.
This is tough.
Look, and here's the thing. Like, I get it. It's like a story. I think part of it is a story about like living in the moment and living in the present instead of fantasizing about all the different future lives that you could have and like trying to live forever, because eventually it's going to lead to like suffering for yourself. That's probably worse. But like, what's going on with the ship? Where is it? Is it on Earth? What's happening here at the end? What's going on, guys?
Yeah. It's tough to follow.
Especially if it's happening over and over again. I mean, I get that they needed somebody else, like somebody else to change the loop that's happening.
Mm-hmm.
Feels like there's a lot of people that are coming and going from this loop.
Yeah.
You're telling me none of them has been a weird enough variation so far that the captain is like, makes it out of there? That's wild.
Well, and also if they need someone to do it, if we believe them and that they just want to save the world, just be like, hey, other person, you have to go save, you have to do this thing.
Yeah, we'll give you a step-by-step instructions and a map. Please just do this thing.
Yeah, I don't like it. One thing that I think was an interesting choice about this, the author had an opportunity here to do this like responsibility loop of Shannon being responsible for her childhood friend's death.
Oh, I know exactly where you're going.
And then didn't, and then like rejected that.
Completely veered off that possibility. Yeah.
Which was fascinating to me.
I was also amazed by this. Yeah. Like, why? Because it was all laid out. Like, the track was perfectly there for her to just be like, yeah, this is the thing that is like, it brings it all together. It makes it all cyclical. And to just say, well, it was no, like,
to
for
make
no reason.
This point, the point of it was basically to step off of this cyclical thing,
mm-hmm.
to say that the universe doesn't actually care about you.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Which is like almost counter. It was like, I don't know. It was just interesting to me. Yeah. Like, I'm not even saying it was incorrect.
Yeah. Yeah. It was, yes, it was very interesting because it was like very obvious that they, it felt like she was talking to us, right? Or I guess he was talking to us. The author was talking to us where they were like, the main character is like, oh no, was I responsible for Courtney's death? And then like, yeah. I don't remember if somebody said no or if she just had to like come to the realization that no, but it was like truly the author speaking to us like, hey, this could have happened, but it didn't, and I'm making that choice yeah. right now as the author.
Yeah.
Very weird moment, I will say.
Very weird. The thing I do like about it is that it saved us from a trope that I hate,
mm-hmm.
which is making the, like, doing a whole drawn-out thing where the main character has to feel super guilty about something that they shouldn't feel guilty about.
Mm-hmm.
So yes. I'm glad we didn't have to do that.
Yes. Agreed. Agreed. Although I do think like that knowing that this world exists makes you so paranoid, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So tough. Like, where's dad? Is dad on that ship? Is my dad on that ship somewhere?
Yeah. It'd be bad. It'd be hard. Other question. Mm-hmm. So the they make a black hole, basically.
Yep.
Right. Which doesn't destroy Earth.
No, of course not, Luke. Did you not read?
They're not on Earth.
Well, no, there's quantum foam.
There's quantum foam.
Did you not? Okay. You don't remember the quantum foam, Luke.
The quantum foam's coming back to me mm-hmm. now.
Gotta remember the quantum foam. Also, probably Tesseract.
Yes.
And higher dimensions. Also, Luke, if you take a black hole and you combine it with a white hole. Oh,
okay.
That's
like
science.
Where this is going.
That's science. It just disappears.
It's, yep. You're absolutely right.
So, Terminus is a white hole. They made a black hole. Bingo, bango. Opposites and all that. Just,
yep.
Yeah. It's gone now. So.
Point rescinded. Okay.
Yep. So pretty. That was actually the most. That was the easiest to figure out of this text. I'm surprised you didn't get there.
Yeah, you're right. I feel bad.
I will say, Luke, there is a trope that our author could have stuck with and or could have sort of rejected and didn't. And that's the trope that like. Main character gets brutally injured and then just goes back in time to where her injuries don't exist anymore.
Mm.
Like when Shannon gets punched in the face and like really badly disfigured, I was like, this feels like a book where she's going to go back in time and somehow lose all these injuries.
Well, you can't go back in time, Dan.
Okay, then what's the epilogue?
You can only go forward in time.
I mean...
kind sometimes.
Sometimes, sort of. But then, Luke, the epilogue is like her... back in time. You don't remember this?
I remember this. Yeah.
Because, Luke, the epilogue is a different future from the one she went through. It's a future where she gets pregnant.
Right.
So it implies that this whole thing we read is an IFT.
Yes. Or that's an IFT. They're all IFTs at this point.
The odds are, if we're doing the probability calculation, the odds are any of these realities is an IFT.
Right.
Yeah. But I will say then that these horrific injuries that she receives are not permanent for some
True.
Reason. And I'll say that, pretty tropey. Our author didn't want to make a Glockta. And you know what I think? Make a Glockta, guys.
Always make a Glockta.
If you doubt yourself, make a Glockta. It's going to turn out great.
Every author deserves a little Glockta as a treat.
As a treat, yeah. For sure. For sure, Luke.
I want to say... We kind of covered this, but there's a point here where there's a little bit of like rehabilitating the Libra crew to some degree.
You mean when like Mersault helps them?
Well, that, but also just in general, when like their stated motivation, as we talked about earlier, is to save the world, even we're not like. And we're still very anti.
Yeah.
They're very bad. I don't think they had to kill all these people in the way that they did. I also don't think that they had to become Nazis.
Oh.
And I just... Do you agree with me to some... Like, that I'm not going to say they're fully rehabilitated.
I mean, I think a little bit. I think the author is trying to make it a little bit more complicated about what their motivations were.
Right.
But I think it's easy. Like, their motivations are obviously shit because the easiest solution if you really wanted to save the world is to do what the captain said for you to do. Like,
right.
It's incredibly selfish to be like, no, I don't want to sacrifice my own life. I want to sacrifice the lives of a lot of other people.
Right. I think I just want to communicate that they are the bad guys in this story.
Yeah, definitely. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. This is not that kind of pod, all right? On here, we're willing to say that the Nazis, bad guys. Also, cowards. I'll say that.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
But I do think it sort of makes sense that they would turn into sort of Nazis, considering their ethical choices that they've made so far.
Sure.
Luke, let's do reviews. I'm going to start. I think time travel can be fun, and the premise here was fun. too confusing for me.
Yeah.
Too confusing for me. And I don't think it was confusing in the sense that it was trying to be confusing necessarily. Like, Annihilation is a book with a lot of weird time stuff that happens that I think is confusing, but intentionally sort of surreal and confusing. And I think, here's what I'll say about this. To me, the sign of a great book is a book that rewards thought, a book that rewards you like thinking about after you've read it, that like the more you think about, the more like nuance you get, the more interesting components you get of it. It like enriches your life beyond the page. Mm. I think this book punishes further thought because I'm like, what was happening at the end? Where was everyone? What does this mean? Like, what's the story about at the end? How does it all work? What happened? And the more you ask those questions, the fewer answers that you have at the end. And I find that very frustrating.
Fair.
So I need to, I'm going to say a positive thing about the book. I think the tone did remind me of the first season of True Detective. Which,
yes,
liked that show, and the tone was fun. However, the plot problems took me out of this entirely.
Yeah.
That's my review.
I think that's fair. I think I'm somewhere similar. I did really like the writing style, which I think is what you're getting at there. Whereas, like, a little bit more, I don't know how to describe it, but like the writing style was a little bit more forward than in a lot of books. Whereas like I always think of Brandon Sanderson, for example, as famously being the one who like tries not to make his writing style part of the story and just wants the plot to be the story.
Mm.
I think this book, the writing style was like a big part of it. Mm-hmm. And I think the writing style was good. Mm-hmm. to the other point, I thought the premise was interesting and I was there for the first maybe like 2/3 of the book.
Mm-hmm.
And then the problem with the like kind of confusing loopy stories, which there are a lot, some good, some bad, is that you have to land the plane well.
Mm-hmm.
To like make all of these threads connect and make it all end like in a satisfying way. And I just don't think this story landed the plane very well.
Mm, you're saying it like crashed on a planet that we can't tell which planet it is and it's endlessly cycling and potentially going to destroy the world is how it landed the plane.
It was not like everything came together.
Yeah.
In ways that I like felt satisfying.
Yes. Yes. I felt like Shannon at the end. I felt like Shannon where things were just happening to me and I got to the end of the book and was like, okay. Well,
yeah.
The end.
Right. Can we talk for a second about the epilogue?
Mhm.
What was that about?
So in the epilogue, she is pregnant, right?
She's pregnant with her friend's brother.
Yeah.
Kid.
Yes.
And it's like, what? Did we get a note about her being in love with her friend's brother at some point?
We did get that she lost her virginity to her friend's brother.
Okay.
In a room. In the house. Like, but when she first went to the house. That's not
like a significant... Like, that was... Yeah. Okay.
I think it was... I mean, I think the point of it was... One, to show, like, how something really, really small is definitely going to have a big impact on her life, right? Like, she is not going to follow the same trajectory that she did in the previous world, right? Like, she's going to have a kid. She's probably not going to go into the Navy. She's probably not going to go through that whole crazy career that she did in the other timeline. And... Right. Also that like there is another timeline, like that it's not the end, like not,
I mean, I get that it shows that she saved the world, kind of.
Yeah,
I think. Did it actually?
I think.
Does it? I'm actually not convinced that this proves that she was successful anyway.
Yeah.
I don't know, it was a weird, to me it was a weird choice for an epilogue.
Yeah. Yeah. Agreed. Agreed, Luke.
Okay. All right, so we're not sure. We're not sure about this one. But we're done with it.
We're done.
The world is gone.
It's over. And we're moving on.
We are moving on. It's next week, Dan. Next week is spring break.
Yeah.
For some folks. Yeah. So. We will be gone next week. Mm-hmm. Taking a little bit of a break.
I'll be at the beach.
Dan's going to the beach, and then after that we're starting a new book.
Mm-hmm.
We will be reading The Goblin Emperor by Catherine Addison.
Mm-hmm. Do it in thirds, Luke.
Doing it in thirds.
First right. Third, 2 weeks from now. Y'all enjoy your spring break. I know we will.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll be back bringing the hot takes
and being dumb nerds.